is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Mr. Cushing's office. He's out right now. No, I'm afraid he can't see you, Mr. Wolf. He has an extremely busy day and he's leaving early. I'll tell him. Yes, Mr. Wolf. Bye.
That's a good girl, Gloria.
I'm afraid you're going to have to see that man pretty soon.
Stephen Wolf? Sure, I'll see him when I have time.
Maybe you're going to have to make time. You stood him up, if you remember, when you went up to Maine so suddenly. He's become a little unpleasant.
Do you know who he is?
Yes, I know who he is. He was a very successful lawyer.
Until he got too smart and went to prison for it. There's nothing I want from Stephen Wolf.
But he wants something from you, apparently.
I know what he wants from me. He wants to tell me something I don't want to hear.
You know best.
Gloria, you're the best secretary I've ever had. With a hell of a lot more intuition than I have about people. You want me to see him?
What's on his mind?
He wants to talk to me about Mrs. Wakefield.
Oh?
Or rather, about her dead husband. Something the guy got into years ago.
Trouble?
Drug running.
That's bad.
It has nothing to do with Kate. But Wolf got hold of it somehow, and he's trying to make something out of it.
But is it true?
Kate told me about it. The best thing I can do to protect her is to ignore it.
Maybe Mr. Wolf isn't going to let you.
Well, he's not going to blackmail me either, if that's his game. Ah, I'll take his word for anything.
I still wish you'd see him once. Just get him off my back.
For you, Gloria, okay. Just set it up on a day that looks easy.
Thank you. By the way, Mr. Fletcher wants to see you this afternoon. That date you better keep.
Yes, ma'am.
And your 11:30 appointment is in your office.
Claire, why didn't you tell me?
You're still exactly 1 minute early. Time to see your wife, Mr. Cushing.
Thank you. Hello, Claire.
Well, right on the dot, Tony. You never lost your hang-up on punctuality.
Gloria keeps me towing the line.
Oh, nonsense. You were prompt long before you had Gloria. I can remember dressing for a dinner party, you fuming because we were already late. Punctuality is a courtesy, you'd thunder. You somehow managed to look so pleased with yourself these days.
Was that why you wanted to see me?
No, I have several matters. I thought you could take me to lunch.
Next week, if you're still around.
I intend to be around.
You never stay in the city after the first of the year.
Well, my plans are a little different this year.
Isn't my boss offering you his place in Jamaica?
Hugh's place is open to me any time, but as I say, I'm going to stay around.
Well, you're a free woman.
You mean you wish I were?
Let's not get into that now.
As a matter of fact, Tony, I have never felt less like giving you a divorce. I'm concerned about you.
Well, thank you.
You want to know why?
I can guess.
I don't think you can.
It's about Kate, isn't it?
Darling, Kate Wakefield can do you a great deal of harm.
You've been talking to Stephen Wolf.
Well, I'd better. You refuse to see him.
I'm not interested in Wolf's dirty gossip.
Tony, do you know what Kate's husband was involved in?
Yes.
You do?
He was a drug addict. Imagine what a life that girl had.
Stephen said he was also involved in running drugs.
Kate had no part of that.
How do you know?
I've heard all this before, Claire. It's past, and it's boring. It can't touch Kate now, and it can't touch me.
Tony, you really have your head in the sand. Even without proof, the whole thing could damage you. Just the talk.
The talk be damned. I'm a little above that.
Hugh doesn't think so.
You?
Your boss. I've talked to him about
it. Claire, you had no business
talking. He agrees with me. In fact, he took it very seriously. You get involved with Kate Wakefield in her past life, and your whole business career could be finished.
It won't wash, Claire. I'm not letting you, or my boss, or anybody else run my private life.
Your private life means Kate Wakefield.
If I'm lucky, it means Kate.
Prince Trudy, the studio club is deserted.
Oh, we're still in the holidays.
Well, come on in if you got time.
Oh, sure.
Hey, Aya, I thought you had a date.
Oh, I'm going to see Tony for dinner. In a way, I wish I weren't.
Well, you got to tell him about little Mrs. Mateo and that apartment she can't use now.
Oh, I called him about that. I told him she'd gone away with her husband.
What did he say?
He said she must be a great wife.
You know, I think that man would like to be married.
He is married.
Okay, stop telling yourself that. A woman he hasn't lived with 5 years, who just wants her bills paid?
I don't understand her. But then, I guess I don't know her.
And I don't want to. Oh, it beats me. I've been on my own a long time. No bag of peanuts. Even with this woman's lib.
Would you like to be married, Trudy?
Well, any woman would, to the right guy. And don't tell me she wouldn't. But where do you find him?
You know, you surprise me. I really thought you liked your independence.
So I come home to my apartment, and what do I have? A nice dinner, candles on the table, and my independence. Oh, come on, don't let me spoil it for you.
Look, I'm the girl who couldn't wait to get married. Then it blew up in my face. Oh, Trudy. What am I going to do about Stephen Wolfe? I mean, apparently he's even beginning to follow me now.
Well, you can call the cops.
He's just waiting for me to do something like that so he can break open the whole story about Tom and his drug running.
Do you know what Stephen really wants?
Yes, I do. He is convinced that Tom left a fortune in cocaine hidden down in the Caribbean somewhere. He wants it.
Is it there?
Could be. I don't know. But Stephen has that recording of Tom's voice. You heard it. That makes it sound as if I were involved.
Oh, but Wolf couldn't prove it.
Oh, Trudy, it's past that. I'm not thinking about myself anymore. I'm thinking about Tony. The talk that Stephen could start.
Tony's got pretty broad shoulders, Kate.
I know, but... Oh, Trudy, it's his career, his position. I think I've got to give up seeing Tony for a while. At least until I've settled this thing with Stephen Wolfe.
Do you think you can settle that alone?
I think I owe it to Tony to try.
Kate, you haven't touched your chocolate mousse. It's some kind of record.
Isn't it? I think I'm in some kind of rut.
Want something else?
No, I just want to sit here with you. Listen to the music.
Happiness is a girl named Kate.
I wish it could be.
We're going to work it out, honey, I promise.
Oh, Tony, we've got a lot against us.
Now, wait a minute. This is the first dinner we've had together since the holidays. Let's not spoil it.
Tony, has Stephen Wolfe talked to you lately?
Wolfe? I don't want to see that creep.
Look, suppose he claimed he could prove all the things I've told you about Tom.
Darling, can't we forget Tom? You married him. He gave you a bad time. He's gone. Kate, this is our chance.
You know, you're really wonderful about it, Tony, but it goes deeper than that. I'm afraid of the talk he could start.
Is that why you're not eating your chocolate mousse? Worrying about talk, about something that happened 5 years ago?
Suppose Stephen tried to show that I knew what Tom was doing.
Okay, you're funny. I'm going to get you a big plate of ice cream. Cheer you up. Do you like strawberry?
Tony, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what Stephen Wolfe will try.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide. Just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Gentlemen, I am none other than William Makepeace Thackeray, author of this chronicle, and a proper bit of mischief will be afoot in this chapter. I remind you that once again, Becky Sharp has manipulated events and people to suit her own purposes. Are not she and Rawdon going to Amelia Sedley's party together? And with Miss Crawley's blessing? That hoodwinked lady has no faintest inkling those two are in love. And was it not Miss C's intention they'd be chaperoned by that antiquated virgin, Miss Briggs? Instead, Giles, who is, of course, no chaperone at all. Single-minded, single-handed, Becky has arranged all this. Will the rest of the night go as well? The three conspirators are now tucked in an open sleigh bound for Russell Square.
Oh, Rawdon, look. All for that, the full moon in the heavens, a confetti of stars.
Likely you ordered them and heaven had to obey. Even constellations obey Miss Rebecca Sharp. Better still, even Aunt Matilda.
Oh, Miss Becky, might I please say a word?
Oh, dear me, Captain Crawley. Can our chaperone be about to object to our holding hands?
Oh, miss.
She don't know it. With my right hand, I drive. My left, holding your right, is hid under the robe.
Oh, then I'm sure she doesn't suspect.
I say, would she object if I kissed you?
Oh, she'd not stand for that.
Very stuffy little party she is. Rotten bad luck we had to have her along.
She'll carry tales to your auntie, you can be sure.
Oh, the both of you, leave all.
If only we could distract her, make her look the other way, then you could kiss me.
Right, I'll have a try. I say there, Giles, look yonder. You see a lion wandering about on the streets of London?
No, sir. It ain't no lion. She's a tiger. Oh, yes, sir. A beast of a tiger with great shiny eyes. No, tis only a pussycat come up to London to visit the Queen. Be you done kissing yet?
Now then, dear Giles, what was it you wanted to say?
Oh, tis gone clean out of my head. What with lions and tigers and kisses? Oh, I'll recollect. When will you and Mr. Rawdon and me leave the party?
Days after dinner when a terrible headache will come upon me.
Oh, so soon, will we?
Soon? Confounded bore to stay that long. We've better things to do than that, haven't we, my heart?
Oh, yes, my love.
Oh, I did so want to see you dance together.
Oh, of course you did. Oh, darling, could we?
No, put us too late. Sorry, Giles, another time.
You wouldn't enjoy it much tonight. They'll dance only the stately court measures, not the merry dances you knew in Mudbury.
Oh, well, there's the new waltzes, Miss Becky. You said so.
Oh, very fashionable now, yes.
Don't know that newfangled step. Couldn't dance it even did we stay.
Giles, what are the Mudbury dances like?
Oh, they're lovely. Advance and retire, both hands to your partner, curtsy and bow, corkscrew fast, thread the needle, and back to go to your place.
Dearest, do let's learn that kind of jolly dance one day.
Any day, any dance, anything you want.
Tonight is what I want and all I want.
Now, there's music to my ears, better than any they'll play at Emmy's party. Look here, why do we stay even for dinner? Who wants to devour oysters and truffles and God knows what from silver chafing dishes?
Yes. Why do we stay?
Becky.
I'm not hungry for oysters or anything on a dinner table.
You mean it?
We'll stay only long enough for me to explain to Emmy why we are not staying. Giles, you'll wait in the sleigh. Mr. Rawdon and I will go inside. I'll take Emmy somewhere apart and then... Oh, no, no. Darling, don't you even come in. Stay outside just by the door. If Emmy insists I stay a while, she'll be easier to leave if I say you're waiting out in the cold. Do you mind?
Mind anything tonight? How could I? But are you sure you're right to tell Emmy what we're to do? Dangerous, I think.
Oh, beg pardon, Miss Becky. You said only me could know.
I did say that, but I want Emmy to know and wish us well. She'll tell no one.
That bounder George Osborne. Not tell him?
I'll ask her, promise. She'll give it and keep it. And it'll make her so happy to know about us.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Rollon antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Rollon will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Rollon will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Rollon, so economical, yet so effective. Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who's ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day Magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333 PA, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
Oh, the Sedley townhouse glitters with lights, and Becky Sharp glitters with excitement. To have drawn Emmy into the library, as the sequels confessed, Emmy listens in wonder, in awe, in disbelief.
Becky! Oh, Becky, are you truly?
You're not afraid?
A little afraid.
But all the same, you and Rawdon, oh, Becky.
Nothing and no one will stop me now. Don't try.
I don't want to try, but Miss Crawley, she won't know. How can she? How even suspect? She believes we're right here with you. When Rawdon brings me back to Park Lane, she'll think we danced all night. Why would she think aught else? She doesn't believe we even like each other.
Oh, Becky, you're so brave. Even if George begs and begs me, but of course... He never would. Becky, he isn't even here. He promised to come early and stand in the receiving line with me and Papa and Mama, and everyone's arrived now. Not George.
Oh, I'm sure he was delayed at the barracks, dear Emmy. He'll be here any minute now, and I must go. Wish me well.
You know I do.
Not a word to anyone, not to George, not to Mr. Sedd, not one word. Vow it with your hand upon your heart.
I vow it. And, oh, I do. I do wish you well.
Lieutenant Osborne was not delayed at the barracks. Instead, at the Three Crowns public house over a pint or two or three. While Emmy and Becky talked, George arrived at the Sedley front door. And there, of course, stood Rawdon Crawley.
Oh, that new Crawley, old chap?
Osborne?
Oh, waiting for someone, are you?
That's right.
Oh, a bit cold to be standing about.
Why don't you go in, then?
Feeling a bit fuzzy. We'll have a little chat, what?
Why should we?
Well, why not? Ain't seen you since just before you went to Queen's Crawley back in, I can't remember when.
I remember well enough.
I hear from Emmy you didn't take my advice about a certain little governess.
I presume you refer to Miss Sharp?
I do. Emmy says she's her cap set for you. Don't surprise me at all. Warned you she'd do it.
Mind your own affairs, Osborne, not mine.
Smitten, huh? Well, Emmy says that too. That don't surprise me either. Pretty little piece, Rebecca Sharp.
A good deal more than pretty, Lieutenant.
Good God, man. Not serious about the wench, are you?
You will not refer to Miss Sharp in any such vulgar terms, sir.
Well, bless my soul. Taking you in, has she?
Warn you, keep a civil tongue, Osborne.
No, hooked proper by a fortune-hunting strumpet.
Why, you dirty cur!
Damn you, Captain. You'll pay for this.
Get to your feet, spittle. We'll finish it here and now. Better still, our seconds meet in the morning.
What?
Second, pistols or sabers. It's all the same to me.
A duel? Good God. Look here, old man. No.
Apologize then, damn your filthy mouth.
I do. Jesting, that's all. Didn't mean a word. Lovely girl, Miss Sharp. Jesting I was, that's all.
Rodden, why am I here, George? I told you he'd be here any minute.
Oh, George, I'm so glad. I was afraid you... Why are you holding your cheek like that?
Slipped on the ice, fell down.
Oh, darling, I'm so sorry.
The lieutenant has a toothache as well.
Oh, what a shame, and I have a punishing headache.
Poor Becky can't stay at the party.
Oh, pity. Like to have had a waltz, Miss Becky.
Oh, another time, George. Rodden, I hope you don't mind too much driving me home.
Pleasure. Good night, Miss Emmy. Lieutenant, keep my offer in mind. My arm, Miss Sharp. Delighted to take you any place you want to go.
Well, personally, I'd have preferred a duel with George Osborne shot through the heart. Ladies, gentlemen, a pity the weekend prevents a full accounting of this romantic, though injudicious, night. But be assured, I am your most devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
If I had a nickel for every minute I spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Author Studio has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
Bob, the phone. Bob, the phone is on your side of the bed.
Hey, what are you doing?
Get the phone.
You cut your elbow right in my stomach.
Hello? Well, Happy New Year to you. Who's this?
Honey, please, could you move just a little?
Hello, Ted. This is right here. It's for you.
What time is it?
I don't know. It's for you. Take it. Ted Lamps.
Oh, yeah. Hello? Oh, Happy New Year to you, old boy.
2:30 in the morning. Is he out of his mind waking people up at this hour?
No, Ted, she's not mad. Well, where are you? Oh, no, we were asleep. Well, what do you think? No, I don't want to join you guys. It's too darn late. I just don't feel like getting up and getting dressed and driving over to Joe's. And... What?
Yes?
Is something wrong?
No, Aunt Maggie, go back to bed. It's just one of Bob's friends.
No, Ted. No, Ted, listen, Hello? Oh, golly. I guess I better get up.
You getting dressed at 2:30 in the morning going out partying?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, Ted said if I didn't feel like joining them, they'd join me. I guess they're coming over.
Who's coming over?
Oh, just a bunch of them. Most of the guys I go fishing with.
It's not New Year's Eve. Why are they still celebrating?
It's New Year's weekend. Will you stop worrying now? I'm not even going to get dressed. I'm going to just throw on a bathrobe and I'll get rid of them.
Uh-huh.
I will.
Look at your home. They're your friends. Just try to keep it down a little, will you? Debbie's asleep. Aunt Maggie's asleep, or she was, and I'd like to get back to sleep.
Oh, sure.
All right, do me one favor. I don't like to be a spoiled sport, but I mean, if you all eat anything...
I promise I won't leave a mess in the kitchen.
Uh-huh. Well, have a good time, dear.
Okay. You go back to sleep.
Hold it a minute. Hold it.
Can I see you a minute, Bob?
Oh, yeah, sure, sweetheart. Now keep it going, guys. It sounds great.
Oh, boy, just when I'm really getting in voice.
I think we ought to work up a good barbershop quartet.
Yeah, come on.
What's the matter, honey? Are we keeping you awake?
It is 5:30 in the morning.
It is?
I mean, really, dear, you know.
Look, I'm sorry. Ted wants to work up a barbershop quartet.
Well, isn't there some other time of the day or the night he could do it?
Well, we were just kind of getting going, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't. You've been sort of getting going, as you put it, for the last 3 hours, you know.
Come on, thanks. Join the party.
No, thanks, Ted. Aren't you fellas sleepy?
Sleepy? What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, we're not sleepy. We're hungry. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, I'll be right down. Go on out to the kitchen. Honey, do you mind?
No, I'll get dressed and come down.
No. You will
not. I'd rather do it than have a bunch of men bustling around out in my kitchen.
No. You go back to bed. For Pete's sake, we can fix our own scrambled eggs, and we will do the dishes.
Well.
I promise you. When you come down in the morning, the kitchen will be all slicked up, and there won't be a thing for you to do.
Well, I know, dear, but I...
We're all just having a good time.
All right, fine. Now, when you finish the scrambled eggs, will you please put the frying pan to soak?
Yes.
Will you, huh?
Yes.
Now,
Peg, don't worry about it.
Oh, there's the master of the house. Hey, where do you keep the eggs?
In the refrigerator, I guess. There should be some bacon there, too.
Oh, you know what I'd rather have instead of scrambled eggs? Some good old-fashioned flapjacks.
Oh, I'd rather have eggs. Now, somebody fix some coffee.
Now, you've never tasted my flapjacks.
Oh, yes, we have, on that fishing trip 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to make some anyhow. Where's the flour?
Hey, here's some cornmeal up here. How about some corn muffins and strawberry jam?
Or honey. Hey, you got any honey, Bob?
I don't know. Have to look.
I'm going
to
need some sugar, salt, one egg, milk, baking powder.
Hey, here's some buckwheat flour. I'll make buckwheat flapjacks.
Look, guys, why don't we just stick to scrambled eggs?
Hey, here's some boiled ham, some mushrooms. Hey, we could make a big omelet.
My contribution is going to be corn muffins. Now, where's the big bowl?
Unless you can turn the oven to 425.
Well, don't you all think that scrambled eggs would be a lot simpler?
My boy, variety is the spice of life. Where's the mixing bowl?
Look,
the sun's coming up.
Yeah, my wife is going to be coming down in the morning. Let's not make too much of a mess, huh?
Daddy!
Huh?
Don't you think you ought to get up? It's 3:00.
What, 3? Why are you waking me at 3?
3 in the afternoon.
Oh, golly. Where's your mother?
Sitting in the living room with Aunt Maggie.
Has she said anything?
She just said, I think you better get your father up. He'll never sleep tonight if he sleeps all day.
Oh, yeah. Well, where's my bathrobe? Oh, you want to get it for me?
You're sleeping in it, Daddy.
Oh, yeah. I better get up. Ooh.
You got a headache?
Oh, no, certainly not. I feel fine.
Kind of tied one on last night, huh?
No, we did not tie one on. The guys dropped in. We played a little poker, did some singing, and fixed some breakfast.
I know, I heard you.
Yeah, well, I better go downstairs and apologize to your mother and Aunt Maggie. Has your mother said anything? Is she mad?
She hasn't said anything.
Oh, calm before the storm, huh? Yeah, well, all right, come on. Better come with me. I'll need moral support.
Oh, you'll be all right. I hope. I've got to change. I'm going out. Don't worry. You know, Mother. She gets mad, but she gets over it very fast.
Yeah, but this time I left her an awful mess in the kitchen.
Well, good luck, Daddy. Oh, well, at least you had a good time, right?
Yeah, but I'm not sure it's going to be worth it. Ugh, I feel awful.
Bob? You up?
Yeah. Coming right down. Well, don't say anything. I know I promised, and I apologize. Jim wanted to make corn muffins, and Fred insisted on making pancakes, and it was a mess. Oh, good morning, Aunt Maggie.
Good afternoon.
Uh-huh. Hi, dear.
Mm-hmm. You sleep well?
Yeah, fine. I feel great. I'm sorry about the kitchen.
Well, you had a good time.
Yeah, we really did. But I certainly didn't mean to leave the mess in the kitchen for you. Those jerks just walked out and left me with it, and I was so darn tired.
Honey, that's all right. Don't apologize. Listen, as I said, it's your home. If you want your friends in, that's fine.
I guess none of you got much sleep, huh?
I certainly didn't.
I'm sorry, Aunt Maggie.
If you were my husband...
Well, he's not now, Aunt Maggie, and I feel a man's home is his castle.
It may be his castle, but he doesn't need to leave it looking like a pig pen.
Look, now, how often does this happen?
Right, now, Aunt Maggie, don't...
I got up just as your friends left at 7:30. And when I came downstairs and saw the mess that kitchen was in, and the dining room...
Did Aunt Maggie clean it all up?
No.
Oh, good.
Nobody did.
What?
Still there. Well, you promised you would, and if you didn't, then I should promise not to do it. Didn't you?
The kitchen and the dining room look just the way we left it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Why are you surprised?
No. It's still a mess out here. Oh, good Lord, no.
What did you expect? Honey? Dear? Bob? Isn't this terrible, isn't it?
I'll kill them. Every one of them. Leaving me with this.
No, I suggest you get on the phone and invite them all back to help you. I would. Did you think I'd have it all done?
Well, yes, you always do.
Well, this time I decided not to. And I had a terrible time keeping Aunt Maggie from doing it. In fact, you don't know how hard it was for me not to do it. Well, yes, you do. You were counting on it, weren't you?
Yeah, I guess so. Look at that frying pan with all that dried up scrambled egg, flour, eggshells, all
that. That's not the worst of it. There is honey all over everything.
Yeah,
absolutely everything is sticky, even the doorknob.
Do I have to clean this up all by myself?
Well, what do you think, Aunt Maggie? Shall we help him?
No, let him call his friends. Have them come back. That is what I do.
Well, I'll help, dear.
The difference between you and Aunt Maggie is why she probably never got married.
Look, I just said I'd help. You scrape, wash, scrub the dishes, and I'll dry. Now get out the detergent. Better start clearing, dear. It's an awful mess. Oh,
boy, you sure pay for everything in this life.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal. The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. Have and to hold.
The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
About finished, Jason?
Oh, you have to get back, Marsh?
Sooner or later, yeah.
Well, let's have another cup. It's quiet here right now. Today it's a better place to talk than my office.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Your office is being painted this afternoon.
Mm.
Oh, well, I guess that's a good way to start the new year.
Well, Marsh, I wish I thought it was going to be a good year.
I know. How's Emily?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, she seems all right, but I think she knows that something's wrong.
How can you tell that?
Marsh, after you've been married for 19 years, you can sense a lot of things.
Oh, such as what?
Oh, mostly by what isn't being discussed. Emily has stopped asking when we'll get the diagnosis from Zabel.
Yes, I see.
And I watch to see that she's taking her medicine, but I don't mention it.
Jason, you said you were going to tell her after the holidays.
Yes, I know, Marsh. You don't have to remind me.
But look, I'm included in this. I gave my word to Emily that I would tell her.
No, I have to be the one to do it.
You don't understand. I'm not going to dispute that now. We're not really arguing over who's to do it, only the fact that it has to be done.
Marsh, do you have any idea what this will do to her, to us? How she'll feel knowing she has a brain tumor, that she probably has very little time left?
No. No, I don't know, Jace. Of course I don't. All I can see is what not telling her is doing to both of you.
Well, don't worry about me.
Don't you think Emily is? You practically admitted Emily knows we're both holding out on her.
Marsh, I keep thinking and wondering about the time we'll have left together.
Oh, Jason, that's a valid concern for both of you. But tough as it is, shouldn't it at least be a time of honesty?
Well, now, that's a nice, glib moral view.
Please, I'm not lecturing you. I wouldn't presume. But I think I know you both very well. And honestly, professional reasons aside, I care about what happens to you both.
Yes, I know. I know you do.
Look, will it be any easier if we both tell her? I mean, together.
Well, I guess it would be easier for me, but not for Emily. No, no, Marsha, I have to do it.
Oh, I've been looking all over for you.
Oh, hello, Angela.
Oh, for Jason or for me?
Either or both of you. Oh, I want to freshen your coffee?
No, thanks.
No, I've had enough, too.
And you both look pretty serious.
We do?
Were you by any chance talking about Emily?
No, we were talking about Jason's office being painted.
And if I believe that, you'll sell me one of the Chicago bridges.
Well, Marsha and I have lots of serious things to discuss.
Such as?
Well, Jennifer, how she's doing.
Jennifer is doing very well, isn't she, Jason? She'll probably be back in school next week.
Oh, that reminds me. I've got to talk to Bobby about going back to Harvard. He got to leave after Jennifer's accident, but he can't stay away much longer.
Yes, of course. He's pre-med, isn't he?
Yes, and he's talking about going into environmental medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether to go at this as Emily's sister or as a nurse.
What do you mean, Angela?
Well, I'm at a slight professional disadvantage since you're both doctors.
Well, I haven't noticed it's having been a problem in the past.
Because we've never had to worry about the treatment of someone in the family.
Now, look, wait a minute. Since this is a family matter...
Not entirely, Mark.
Angela, let's discuss this later.
No, Jason, no.
Look, the place is filling up now, and I don't want to discuss Emily in front of the whole hospital.
Jason, you don't want to discuss Emily at all.
Angela, look, please, now is not
How
the time.
Much longer do you think you can put off finding out what is wrong with Emily?
Angela, everything is being done.
This really is something. I just don't understand it, Jason. You know Emily's sick. You know she's worried about what it is she has. You, Marsh, you know how important an early diagnosis is. And you both sit here over coffee talking about Jason's office being painted.
Marsh, let's go. I have work to do.
Yes, you go on ahead, Jason. I'll be along, okay?
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, Angela. We'll talk about it later.
Marsh, what is the matter with Jason?
You think something's wrong with him?
I do. The only thing that could explain the way he's acting. And he looks terrible.
Yes, I know.
But that does not explain you. Why don't you find out what's wrong with Emily?
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what FinalNet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. FinalNet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of FinalNet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. FinalNet. The first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Oh, dear. That was the last of the big red ones.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Oh, Betsy, don't worry. Christmas tree ornaments can't go on forever.
I noticed some of the older ones do. The angels with the spun glass wings are old.
At least 10 years.
Should we save the tinsel for next year?
Well, if you want to pick it off strand by strand.
Well, some of it. The long ones, anyway. I feel so sorry for Christmas trees afterwards. They're all dried up. All the ornaments are gone. Just a little tinsel here and there.
Next year we'll get a living tree and plant it afterwards.
That will be nice. Next year I'll be 17. Do you think I could have a car?
I'd like to talk to you about next year.
Yes?
Your father and I have been talking about your school.
My grades are okay.
Well, yes, they are, but there are other things to be considered.
Mom, what are you talking about?
We think you would benefit from going away to a boarding school.
Go away? You mean...
Betsy, it's a very fine school.
I don't care. Where is it?
In Boston. Miss Hudson.
Oh, no, I don't want to go to Boston.
It's a very good school. You'll meet a lot of nice girls and make new friends.
If you think I'm going to forget all about Chucky...
Betsy, you have to make new friends. You can't just hang around with that crowd at school.
You don't know anything about them.
I know enough.
You never let me bring anybody home.
Oh, there's your father.
Oh, hello there. Oh, gee, I see you're almost finished.
Hello, dear.
Mm. Hey, let's have a tree untrimming party, huh? What do you think, Betsy? It's a little gloomy, so let's just cheer ourselves up.
I don't care what you and Mom do.
What?
You don't care what happens to me.
What's the matter?
We were talking about her school.
Oh, I see. You told her you wanted to send her away?
I said you and I had talked about it, and we thought it was a good idea. It's for her own good.
So you let her think I approved, too?
I don't think you and I should be divided on things concerning Beth.
Oh, Ginger, what you mean is that I should agree with you on everything.
I didn't say that, Mark.
It wasn't necessary.
She's confused enough without our arguing over what's right for her.
You know we don't have any God-given knowledge about what is right for her.
Well, if we don't decide, who will?
And our track record isn't all that great, Ginger.
What are you getting at?
You know damn well.
That's got nothing to do with this.
It certainly does. We've been honest with Betsy and let her know she was adopted. We might have some kind of moral right to guide her now.
You just don't understand.
Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know. I know. I don't understand why we haven't told her. And I don't understand why you think she should go away to school. I mean, what are you afraid of, Ginger? Are you afraid I'll tell her?
I don't think you'll break your promise to me.
Don't be too sure, Ginger.
Where are you going?
Don't you care about Betsy? Don't you know she's upset and hurt?
You won't tell her.
Maybe now is the time to do it.
Marsh, you can't.
It's the start of the new year. Betsy has to know sooner or later. Maybe it will help her to understand what's been going on around here.
But, Marsh, the past weeks have been...
No, Ginger. No, wait. It's just been a temporary truce. We haven't really faced up to what our lives have been and what it's been doing to Betsy.
Not now, Marsh. Not today. We have time.
Ginger, you never know how much time there is. And you never know when the time has passed. And you can do nothing about it.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.